The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, December 18th, 2011, for those listening live, and obviously it's some other day if you're listening to the recording. Welcome, welcome, welcome. As always, let's get started by opening up to the connections. And so the first one that we're going to open up into is going right in. It's connecting to the divinity that we are, the master within each one of us. So however you choose to do that is perfect for you. For me, I like to go right into the heart, into the balance point, and just open up there and allow yourself to breathe in to your divinity. And breathe your divinity into this moment, into your experience of this moment, into your experience of life in this moment. And let's take that out to the next level and open up that connection with our Mother Earth, the only other being, the only other physical being at least, that's with us 24/7, that is always there with us. Every breath we take, she's there. And allow yourself, and again, through the feet is fine, through the root chakra, however you choose to connect, open up to feeling the energy of the Mother Earth, to feeling her love coming into you, to feeling her support, to feeling her presence, expanding that in this moment, expanding our awareness of that in this moment. Wonderful. And next, let's open up to those other beings who are also with us in every moment, but not in the physical. Our angels and guides, the other beings, spirits, if you will, who are with us, supporting us, loving us, guiding us as we step forward into more and more of our power, into more and more of our awareness. And so again, however you choose to do that, through the heart, through the crown, or in whatever other way works for you, just allow your intention to open, to connect, to receive, to share, to feel their presence more fully in this moment than in the moment before. All right. And one more layer out. Let's go now and connect with all of us who are co-creating this right now in this moment. And that doesn't matter whether you're listening live or listening to the recording. We're all creating this right now. Everything that's going to come out of my mouth is coming out of my mouth because we as a group are creating it. So allow yourself to breathe in and open to their presence, to our presence, to the co-creators who are here with us now. And breathe into that energy as we all stride forward together to step into mastery. Step into that self-discovery of our divinity. And one more layer out. One more conscious layer out. Connect with, open to, the energy of all the light workers who are in body now. Everyone on the planet who is seeking to walk this same path, who is opening to know their own divinity, to come into their own power, who is seeking to support that in those around them and others on the planet who are ready. And feel that momentum, the momentum of our individual intentions to empowerment, combining into a mass consciousness toward empowerment. And just let yourself feel the energy of that wave to whatever degree you can in this moment, in whatever way that you can. We are not in this alone. Even when we're by ourselves, that energy is there, as is the energy of this community, as is the energy of all of our guides and angels, as is the energy of the Mother Earth, as is the energy of our own divinity. And allow yourself, to whatever degree you can, to feel all of those layers, all of those levels of support, all of those levels of momentum and energy. And give yourself permission in this moment to actually receive it, not just to feel it, but to receive it, to receive that support, to receive that connection, to receive that momentum. All right. Well, thank you for joining me in that. Thank you for joining me here today. And today we have, well, what I think is a pretty interesting topic. We'll see what happens. I've been, well, doing a lot of reading, one of the things that I choose to do, enjoy in my life. And it has me focusing on, well, a term that a lot of people use who are not necessarily walking the spiritual path. And that term is coincidence. And then the term that many who are walking the spiritual path would use for a similar kind of circumstance, and that would be synchronicity. And I'd like to explore that a little bit and what that might mean and how that might have importance as we're stepping forward into our more conscious lives, into more of our power, more of our mastery. And so what does that mean? What is a coincidence? What is a synchronicity? Those terms, to me, are fairly interchangeable, except that synchronicity has a deeper level of meaning to it. It has a deeper level of awareness to it. It has a deeper level of intention to it. And so again, what are they? What is a coincidence? What is a synchronicity? Well, it's when, as far as I'm concerned, it's a moment when the events that we're experiencing fall into a larger pattern. Now, in coincidence, it's, oh, isn't that odd that I was thinking of this person and then I saw them? Or this is what I was desiring and then it happened. But it was an unexpected thing. It was not something that is explainable by the normal rules. Not something that is explainable by, oh, science. And yet when we put the term synchronicity on that, what's happening there? What's happening to me is that we are perceiving in some ways beneath the veil. And by the veil, what I mean is that that level of, I'd call it interference, but I don't think that's a great term, because to me that implies that there's some force outside of ourselves getting in the way of us perceiving. And I don't believe that's the case. I believe that the interference, if you will, comes from within. It's more like we are wearing glasses that prevent us from seeing. And in that moment of synchronicity, we just lift the glasses for a second. We are able to perceive a greater degree of what's actually taking place. And we do that, again, even as it is in the term coincidence or that way of looking at it, we see beneath that because it is unexpected, because it doesn't fit within the normal patterns that we've been taught through science, through law, through religion, through education. It doesn't fit the rules of the way things are supposed to work. Now, on an extremely large scale, an overwhelming synchronicity, that might even be considered to be a miracle, but the idea is similar in that a miracle and a synchronicity, neither one of them fits the underlying patterns that we're supposed to expect. And the difference between those two, between synchronicity and miracle, to me, is about, well, probably the most important piece of what it's about. If something's going to be defined as a miracle, something really bad has to be taking place. So it's an illness, it's a horrible situation averted. It's something that was avoided. The inevitable and our interpretation of that based upon those patterns that we look out at the world through, those filters that we look out at the world through, would say, well, yes, this person is going to die of that disease because that disease is incurable. Or this situation is impossible. How can you possibly raise that much money or receive that much money in that short a period of time, etc. It's something that puts us looking underneath the veil, aware of something underneath the veil, but it's heightened level of importance, labeling it a miracle, is based upon how bad the situation is that it happened within, that it was a part of, that it fixed, in other words. Whereas synchronicity doesn't necessarily have that kind of negative background. Now, obviously, a miracle, when it shows up, when something happens that doesn't fit the normal rules that we as humans have all agreed to, the way we've agreed to look at the world, when the miracle happens, it breaks through so loudly because the situation is often so dire. But to me, it's the same kind of thing as a simple synchronicity. It's us perceiving the patterns that are underneath the patterns we normally look for and expect. And what's the importance of this? Well, the importance of it comes from a couple of things, I believe. The first one is that synchronicity, or having some glimpse of that deeper reality, whatever sits underneath the level our filters normally allow us to perceive, is that it actually causes us to seek to look under that level. So in other words, it's, well, a very annoying example, or analogy perhaps, is when we are listening to the radio or watching television and the emergency broadcast system comes in and the program is still going. It doesn't stop the program usually, especially if it's one of those tests. But it comes on and you get that horrific noise, whatever the noise is, and it's saying, pay attention here. Something important is going on. Something is going on that's more important than this surface level that you're looking at, the television show, the radio program, whatever you're perceiving here is not the whole picture. There's something bigger and more meaningful going on. And if it's a test, obviously we get annoyed or whatever, and then we kind of let it go. But if it's a real emergency, then our focus changes. Our focus is, okay, how do I deal with the impending hurricane or the tornado or the other storm that's coming with the hail? What steps do I need to take to deal with this more important level of reality? And that, to me, is what coincidence or synchronicity and its extreme version, the miracle, they're all about. They're about saying, look beneath the surface, do it now. There's something here in this moment that's going to help you step more into, well, your power, your mastery. There's something here in this moment that's going to help you remove more of those filters to see and to live in that underlying reality more fully. And again, when it first starts, I know a lot of people, when they end up finding their way to me for a first session, and certainly it's not universal, but a lot of people have come to me and they start telling me in those first sessions, or at least to the master that they're talking to through me in the channeling, they start telling me about, oh, I'm always seeing 11:11 on the clock. Every time I look up, it seems like it's one of those numbers, 11:11 or 2:22. And they start to see a pattern there that is not their normal pattern, which gets them eventually. How many coincidences do we need before we start to perceive those as synchronicity? But I truly think that that kind of thing is one of the ways that people get moved onto the spiritual path. Now, I say moved, and that's, again, like interference. It's like some outside force is doing this to us. And in a way, that's true when we're not in the full experience of our divinity, which I don't know anyone who is, myself included. When we're not in the full experience of our divinity as an internal reality, the experience of our divinity, the hand of our divinity, so to speak, if our divinity had hands, that's another interesting question, but we're not going to go there. If our divinity actually had a hand in things, it would seem to be something that wouldn't fit with our everyday reality. And so these are those moments where people start looking for God. Now, of course, back to that concept of the miracle and how that is just an extended, larger version of a synchronicity. It's much more of a push to seek underneath the normal patterns when we're desperate. When we have tried everything that we can think of within the so-called normal rules of reality to try and get the situation that we're in to behave the way we would like it to behave. But if it's an intense experience, we are extremely ill, someone else is extremely ill, there is a major financial crisis, or whatever other kind of crisis we can have, and they are too numerable to mention and describe. When we are in one of those crisis moments, part of the crisis is often, I am playing by the rules that I was taught. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing to be successful, happy, blah, blah, blah. Whatever those rules are, whatever they have been defined as, whatever within our filter system we have been told was the goal. Financial success, the beautiful, happy family, success at work, success in creating artistic things, doesn't matter what the focus is or what we value. When we are playing by the rules we've learned and that's not working, that's when we look for new rules. And that's how most everyone I have ever met, in fact, I can't think of anyone who would be an exception to this. Everyone I have ever met has gotten onto the spiritual path. And I don't mean dabbling, going to a psychic or having an occasional reading or a healing session. I mean someone who is in any way committed to self-empowerment, to self-discovery, to healing their past. Got there because they were trying to deal with something that was uncomfortable, that was painful, that was on some level a crisis where they were operating within the rules and those rules did not get them the desired results. And so, what use is this? How can we use this consciously to move forward on our path? Well, one of the ways that I would see it is that it's a really good thing to start paying attention to synchronicities as soon as they arrive. And it's not, I would say, about asking the question, why? Why is this happening? But rather, what am I to do with it? What can I do with this expanded awareness as I move forward? What is the next step? As I'm in this expanded awareness, in this moment, the veil has been drawn back and I have a deeper sense of connection. What is it that I can do with that right now? Is it just to breathe into it more? To really open, as we do at the beginning of the radio shows, to the energy of the bigger picture, to allow ourselves to feel that? Well, that's the first level, absolutely, and I would think that is true in every case. Every time a synchronicity comes along, that's the first thing to do, is embrace it. Allow ourselves the most complete possible experience of that expansion. Because, and this is, as with everything on this show, my perspective, but one of the things that I've seen over and over and over again and has been described, certainly not just in the work that I do and the channeling that I do, but by numerous other healers, etc., and it's probably out there in the books, is that we get our messages, so to speak, and as far as I'm concerned, they're all coming. Yes, we may get them from our guides and angels. We may get them even from God, Goddess, whatever that means. The big O, the big all, the big everything, the great spirit. But we always get them because our own divinity, again, whatever terminology you would use for that, our own divinity opens the door a crack. So that energy, that message, that awareness, that experience of something larger than what we normally perceive as humans, because our divinity opens the door and allows that in. And so, when we take advantage of that, when we embrace it, when we really own that moment and allow ourselves to experience it as fully as possible, a big piece of what that does is, well, it's kind of like working out. Those people who lift weights. You don't lift weights once and then you're done. Well, maybe I would. But it's not the way to actually increase your muscle and your strength over time. But in order to build up to a new experience of your muscles, to a new experience of strength in the physical body, this is something that must be repeated and repeated and repeated. And the same is true of opening into our connection with our divinity, our connection with divinity as a whole, is that it's not something you do once and go away. That's why there are so many different versions, varieties of spiritual practice out there. Meditation, prayer, well, each of those in an infinite variety. But every other thing that can be put into the category of a spiritual practice is for that very purpose. It's to step into that expanded experience until it becomes normal. Well, again, back to the analogy of working out. If someone goes and works out, and the first day that they go in there to do that, they can only lift the 5-pound weights, well, that's their level of strength. But if they work with those on a regular basis, soon they're going to be lifting the 10-pound weights. And not long after that, they'll be lifting the 20-pound weights. And that becomes normal. The 5-pound weights are like nothing at that point. Even the 10-pound weights. When you're up to 20 pounds, the 10-pound weights, that's not a workout anymore. It's not a stretch. It's not taking you beyond what your norm is. And so that's what we're seeking to do. We're seeking to do spiritual practice to expand our normal experience of divinity, what becomes the everyday. And so to me, one of the things that has always been true is that I don't stick with spiritual practices very long. The only spiritual practices I have tended to stick with have been the channeling, and, well, everything else tends to go, whether it's in a week, whether it's in 3 weeks or a month or even a year. Now, what would be the reason for that? Well, other than when the judgmental part of me comes out and says, well, it's because you're lazy and you have no discipline. But when I look at that from that spiritual perspective, well, let's think about it this way. Another analogy is a good one. When we are in school, we learn certain things at each grade level. Now, different school systems may have different things that are learned at each grade level, but there's basically an order that's been established. For instance, especially with mathematics, you need to learn addition and subtraction before you can learn multiplication and division. And you need to learn those before you can learn square roots, etc. And so spiritual practice is kind of that way as well. There are certain spiritual practices, and for each person, the exact map of spiritual practices is going to be different. But once you learn the multiplication tables, and you can say 2 plus 2 is 4 every time you come across 2 plus 2, you don't need to keep practicing 2 plus 2 equals 4, because you're not trying to learn it. It's like that 10-pound weight or the 5-pound weight. 2 plus 2 is 4, you've already got. 4 minus 2 is 2, you've already got. Which is what allows you to do multiplication and division. You learn those multiplication tables. Sheer rote memorization. But once you have them, and you know that 6 times 6 is 36, it's there. You don't have to keep doing that. That's the 10-pound weight. Well, you set that aside. You move on to square roots. You move on to algebra. You move on to the next level and the next level and the next level. And spiritual practice is very much that way. And now, that's not to say that if you have a spiritual practice that continues to serve you, stop doing it. I'm not telling anyone to stop doing a spiritual practice. But what I'm suggesting is that we really want to be aware of that question for ourselves. Is this spiritual practice still supporting me? I've worked with numbers of people, thousands of people coming for individual sessions. And many of those have been clients that I've worked with through time, not just coming for one session, but they come for one. And then whether it's a week later, a month later, a year later, they come back for another one. And again, whatever the time interval is, they come back for another one because they're looking to work with the information, the energy, the tools that are given. And when they feel like they've done the workout with them, they've gotten what they can out of them, then they come back for the next piece. And they may get another exercise or tool to work with. And certainly, this is not the only way to do it. I'm not the only resource out there. But it's about working with the tool. And when the tool is no longer taking you forward, and this is a concept that was not in my head before I channeled it, but when the tool is no longer taking you forward, in many ways it actually becomes, well, it's like having the anchor out the back of the boat and yet trying to drive forward with it anyway. You may still get your boat to move depending on how far down the anchor is, how much it weighs, if it's locked in the bottom, but it's going to move much more slowly than if you pulled the anchor up. And one of the things that has been said, and again, it rings true for me, it may not for you, but is that every spiritual tool will eventually become a weight. Because you will eventually get all the workout, all the extra strength, all the expanded awareness that you can out of it. And then if you keep going back to it after that, it becomes something that is, well, for one thing, it's taking your time and energy focusing on something that is not expanding you. So even just in that way, where, depending on how you want to look at it, we do have a limited amount of time in the body down here in the physical dimension, it's taking time away that you could be using to do a different kind of workout, different kind of spiritual exercise, different kind of spiritual tool to continue expanding. And so I don't bring this here to tell people to stop doing those exercises. As long as it's feeling good to you, that's great. But one of the things to look at is the reason you're doing it because in this moment it is still the right thing to do, or is the reason you do it because there's a degree to which you define yourself as a spiritual practitioner, as being on the path, because you have this spiritual discipline, because you have this particular spiritual exercise. Now, another thing that comes into play here, and this goes back to the layers that I was talking about at the beginning. And we think that there is this veil between everyday mundane reality and spiritual reality. And it's kind of an all or nothing. You're either in the mundane reality or you're in the spiritual reality. Well, in truth, they coexist at the same time. And the spiritual reality is also in layers. And this is another place, I think, where people can get stuck on the path. I've often heard or read, and I know you probably have as well, if you've been doing this for any length of time at all, those stories that are about someone having that awakening. And after that, everything changes. And I'm not saying those don't happen. And I have had some experiences where certainly, if not everything has changed, then a ton has changed afterwards. But in many cases, those experiences can actually be, as far as I'm concerned, a little bit detrimental to someone choosing to move forward, choosing to continue the journey, because it feels like they've reached the destination. Oh, I've got it now. Often then, that story becomes a badge of honor. Well, I've had this experience. And it's something that we tell to the eager ears of those who've not had that experience. And it becomes a mark of our importance. And yet, that which was an internal experience in the moment it happened becomes something that we're using for that same old pathway, that same old pattern of trying to get our value through how others are perceiving us. Oh, you've had that experience. Wow, what would that be like? And again, it's not that there's no value in those stories. There are, because they, if nothing else, offer a glimpse into that other reality that we can get secondhand, that we can start imagining. Oh, what would that be like if I had that kind of experience where suddenly all the doors were open and I really felt connected to everything? Well, that's wonderful. Do you still feel that in this moment? Quite possibly not to the same degree. In fact, one of the things that I believe is happening in most spiritual experiences is it's kind of like we're being given a taste. And it's a taste of something that is amazing. But the very fact that it is ethereal, that it slips through our fingers, that we can't hold on to it, is part of that spur to get us to do the next piece of the work to move forward. If not to reclaim that, then to get closer to it, then to reconnect to it. And that goes right back to where we started with coincidence and synchronicity, and even again that energy of expanded synchronicity that we would call the miracle. It is an opening that allows us to touch something, to experience it to a little bit, to a little degree, which helps us to start having that inner need, desire, urge, intention to claim it again, to discover it again, to experience it again, to own it as a part of our reality. But it does require, as far as I'm concerned, it does require that conscious choice. Again, it's like, well, you hear the stories of the mother who is so filled with adrenaline that she lifts the car off the baby. She does something that she could not normally do in her regular life. If she went to the gym the next day, she could not lift the weight that she lifted when she lifted the car in just weight because she doesn't have that extra incentive. Same kind of thing. When we have that expanded spiritual experience, we go beyond what we can hold normally to have a glimpse of what's possible. But then it's up to us if we would choose to re-experience that, if that mother would choose to have that strength all the time, not just in that dire strait of an emergency when it's the only way she's going to save her child. If we would have that experience of divinity to that expanded degree, it's time for us to go do the spiritual gym work. It's time for us to go back to that in some way, repeatedly, to keep moving forward. And that, to me, is what the spiritual path is all about. Now, even more exciting than just that idea is when we can stop having the primary source of the need to move forward be when we're in crisis. And believe me, as someone who's done healing work for a decade and a half now, there are certainly lots of people out there. And it's better than not at all. It's better than those who go into a crisis and don't seek to look beneath the veil to find a bigger picture, to make a change If you will, on the description of the show on the BBS website, one of the things I put in there is if and I don't know the words to it right at this moment, but essentially, if we want to have a different experience, if we want to step into our power, we have to break the rules. And it's not somebody else's rules. It's the rules that we've been living by. And that requires us to look at what we've been doing. Now, we can wait until we have those experiences that knock us on our ass, as a lot of people would describe it, that spiritual 2x4 upside the head. We have an experience that says, wake up. I've even known more than one person who has had that in a dream or a vision or whatever, where spirit comes and literally says, wake up. But how much better when we get to the place where we are choosing to take those steps without needing the spiritual 2x4. And again, it doesn't matter which tool is the tool being used at the moment. A meditation practice, a yoga practice, having regular sessions of some kind. The tool is irrelevant. What I'm talking about here is how much better it is when we get to the place where we are, if you will, self-motivating, where we are taking those steps by choice rather than by having another one of those experiences that seems to be that outside interference of God is pushing us forward, or fate intervening and creating a circumstance of crisis. When we can make that step regularly and make it a habit. And again, it doesn't have to be the same tool every time. I'm not talking about using a particular tool. I'm talking about consistently stepping toward our mastery, continually stepping toward our divinity, continually stepping toward our empowerment. Then we are giving ourselves a tremendous gift. And it's not to say that even after we start doing that, we won't occasionally get the spiritual 2x4. We do. We can. It's not required necessarily, but it certainly can happen. But those who walk the path more consciously, more frequently, more consistently, in my experience, do have fewer of the 2x4s to deal with, and the headache doesn't last nearly as long. We're able to get through it more quickly. And whether you fit in that category or not, whether you believe you're there or not, you're listening to this for a reason right now. In fact, you're creating this with me for a reason right now, because there's something in this that can serve you. And so, as you're looking at your life, as you're looking at your spiritual practice, as you're looking at the healing that you are doing or attempting to do, in whatever way you might be attempting to do it, the question to bring in, or a question to bring in, that can always be of service is, what's my next step? As one of my previous guests, her phrase is, what's the next thing for me to do or to know to be in a state of divine grace? Thank you, BJ. BJ King. For me, I take that a step further. I adjust everything. That's just part of how I am. It's the part of me that could easily have been a lawyer. And grace is great, but I'd rather have joy. So when I do tend to use that question, I change it. What's the next single thing for me to do, to know, or to say, to be in a state of joy? And I don't even need to throw the divine in there, because for me, joy is the experience. It's not even emotion. It's an experience that transcends it because it is the experience that we have when everything is lined up, when our physical, mental, and emotional bodies are all moving together with our spiritual in that moment. Some people describe it as flow. Some people would call it a peak experience. Again, terminology is irrelevant. But for me, that's joy. But a shorter version of that question is, what am I as a divine being to do right now? And to breathe into that. And again, it's not like you're talking to somebody on the phone. You may or may not hear the voice of God in your head or the voice of your guides. But the more we focus on that kind of question, the more we're focusing into the moment. The more we're focusing into now, which is the only place we have choice. We don't have choice in the past. We can't change what happened. We can change our experience of it, but we can only change our experience of it by connecting with our experience of it that is still with us. What is now? And so, I imagine this topic is going to be continued, but I think that's the place that I will shift toward. Toward the channeling today. So, let's go there. And as always, what I would ask you to do, if you will, is just take yourself a few deep breaths while I do the toning that adjusts the frequencies to allow the channeling to take place. Hello, dear ones. This is the Archangel Ariel, come to be with you today. Welcome. Welcome. And take a moment and just feel why you're here. Why in this moment are you listening? And feel your way backwards. How did you find this? How did you find this possibility, this show? Were you already working with the one we were speaking through? Who made that initial connection? How did you get there? And how did you make connection with that person? And that person, and that person. And think about your friends. Who are with you in your life at this time? And how did those friendships come about? How were those connections made? Was it through school or through work? Was it through meeting a friend of a friend? Was it a seemingly random meeting? You were both doing something that you loved, perhaps. And the time and place overlapped in which you were doing it. And how about whatever work you may be doing in your life now? And it doesn't matter if it's paid work or not. How did you get there? What were the pathways? And as you look at these things in hindsight, we would simply ask you to notice the synchronicities. Notice as well the choices. Because The synchronicity, the noticing is one thing. Awareness is important. But awareness without choice means nothing. Knowledge will only get you so far, dear ones. Experience is the product of wisdom, not knowledge. Because with wisdom, you take the knowledge and you apply it to the moment. You make choices in the moment. And as you have more experiences, your wisdom will grow and change. Because some of what seems like wisdom in this moment, in hindsight, does not look like that at all. Because choices are made that you then later come to go, what was I thinking? But in the moment, there was wisdom. But wisdom is gained through experience, not knowledge. Not knowledge. And even when you learn, as they say, and those who are most wise do learn from the mistakes of others. They do learn from the mistakes of their teachers, rather than having to go through it personally themselves. However, in order for that to take place, you cannot just have the knowledge of what your teacher went through. You must experience it. You must take it in. You must imagine, what was it like? What would it have been like for me to go through that? It must become yours. It cannot be the story of the teacher or the master. It must become yours. If it is to be truly beneficial in this expansion into your divinity, into your power, into yourself. And that is one of the ways that so many of the teachings of so many of the masters become distorted. It is because the listener is no longer taking them in and making them his or her own. They are just stories of the unattainable, of the impossible, of what a master could do. But I am not a master, so how could I connect with that reality? How could I experience the reality of being the master, the true creator, the one who always experiences or sees beneath the veil? Well, until you can imagine yourself as the master, you will never experience it, dear ones. And so if there is a lesson here, it is that every time the door to divinity opens through synchronicity or coincidence or miracle or whatever other terminology you might put on it, maybe it is activation or initiation, maybe it is healing, it does not matter the term, but every time you have an expansion of your experience of that which is divinity, that which is beneath the veil, beyond the veil again. Perspective and language are irrelevant. But every time you have that expanded experience, the more you breathe into it, the more you allow yourself to live it while it is present, the more you embrace it, the more you will carry with you out of it. And so right now, it does not matter to what degree you even feel energy flow, to what degree you can feel your consciousness shift. Right now, allow yourself to feel into the degree of openness that you have. Openness to connecting with the reality beyond the mundane, the everyday. Because if you did not have that openness, you would not be listening here. And so that level of intention and that level of openness, that is you consciously choosing to open the door, that at first you at the divine level of you had to orchestrate. But stepping into mastery is claiming you at the divine level of you. And as such it is. About breathing into that, it is about accepting it. About connecting it to your perception of yourself, to your definition of yourself. So that perception and that definition, so that those filters through which you perceive yourself can become thinner or smaller, so that the reality, the perception, your experience of yourself can become larger. And so just breathe into that. It does not have to be that life-altering thing. Certainly those are wonderful when they are manifest. But if you had to rely upon those to get you where you are desiring to go, you would not get there in this lifetime. Because although they can open up huge possibilities, if you don't walk in that direction, you will not get there. And so it is better to walk in that direction by choice rather than to wait for the miraculous to save you. We have news for you. You do not need saving. You do not. You need serving. You need to serve yourself. And that is not to take advantage of others, because that is not true service, because that may feed the body, but it does not feed the soul. And in the long run, it won't even feed the body. To serve the self is to truly honor the self and take care of the self. And that requires an expanding awareness of that interconnectedness, of the streams of energy that are in every relationship, flowing back and forth, not just one way, not just to feed you, but to serve others. Because even as those others are mirrors to you, so you are a mirror to them. And that is not about sacrifice. You do not sacrifice yourself for others. Because that is victimhood, and victimhood is not empowerment. But you choose to participate with them. And that is not becoming more social than you are right now. It can, at times, and it will. But you do not need to be in the space of others all the time. In fact, for most who are that way, who are the biggest social butterflies, they are the ones avoiding the path, keeping themselves busy just with the details of dealing with others, rather than actually being within their own experience. And so you will need time to yourself and for yourself. That is not to say you hide from others either, because they are the mirrors. They do give you the feedback. They do give you the experience of yourself. What they give you, what they mirror to you, is the filters that you have. And when you can see the filters, you can extract them. You can diminish them. You can clear them. And then what do you see? Well, then you see the underlying reality. The larger picture. More and more of it. And as was said, it is in layers. And it is infinite. And you can and will expand to infinity to encompass it. But that is a much longer journey than will happen just today. Or even this lifetime. Or even on this planet. And so, with that, we ask you to just take one more deep breath and go back to the beginning and open now to the expansion of your divinity. And notice, if you will, if you can, if you are able, if there is any difference than there was when you began here today. And if there is nothing noticeably different, that is not a bad thing. There's no judgment in it. But it is something to notice and to be aware of. And perhaps to take that awareness with you as you leave, and to seek to expand even more into your connection to divinity in whatever the next moment may bring. And so, we bid you adieu, and we give you our love. Namaste, dear ones. All right. Thank you, Ariel. Well, and thank you once more to all of the co-creators out there. And thank you to Doug helping me in the studio there. You can start those chimes up anytime, Doug, when you're ready. And in that thanks, I would thank you for all of your support out there. Remember, I'm always open to feedback, suggestions, questions, etc. They will find their ways into the shows eventually. So send them to me. And I will be back next week. I will be live, if that option is available, on Christmas Day. And we will do this yet again. So I hope you have a wonderful week. Same time next week, same place here next week. You never know where this show will go, and you never know where you're going to go. You have the power in every moment to choose. So, take it. Much love, my friends. Have a wonderful week. Namaste.